Sorry
Hey, we
about
welcome Kyle Westmoreland. Congratulations on your first win on the Korn Ferry Tour, man. How you feeling? How you doing? Tell us a little bit about what happened.
that. Yeah, feeling good. It's nice to get it done. I think admittedly, there's a few times last year where I, had lead or was close to and had the opportunity to get it done and didn't. So I think I, in that sense, maybe appreciate this one even more because of that. And so it's been awesome for me. It's been awesome for our family. Great to come home. Great to, give the wife a kiss and our little baby boy and have a couple of weeks off. But feeling good. The beginning of the year in the Bahamas, I didn't have my best stuff. So I think we surprised ourselves a little bit, and that's always a great thing in golf.
Well, going back to that real quick, I mean, you finished 38th last year, I think it was, on the Korn Ferry list. And then you start off in the Bahamas at what, you finished 74th or something like that, then missed two cuts. And all of a sudden you come storming back in Bogota. You shoot a 61 on day three, set a course record at 10 under. What was that? What did you do? What do they have in
Well,
Bogota that we don't have up here? I guess I shouldn't ask that one.
shoot, there's a, one thing that I did which helped me for the week. I'd hit the ball pretty good in Panama. Panama was having a little that little time off between the Bahamas and Panama was nice. Went back, worked on it, got to Panama, hit it pretty good, didn't putt it very good in Panama, so that can kind of be like a limiting factor, in the game of golf if you're not putting it very good. But actually switched putters for Bogota, so week one with a new putter, and
What was it?
it was working. It's the same setup. I arm lock it. It's the same grip, shaft, weight. It's but it went from an Odyssey, like a seven, to a spider, TaylorMade spider, and it was good. It was good. I admittedly made nothing on Sunday up until about the 14th hole, and then got hot, and so it was nice. It was nice. It was a nice change, and it was good to see some progression from Panama into Bogota. And we had a fortunate, have a great team. Caddy, the guy that caddies for me down there is not my full-time guy, but he does like my stats and course prep. So we're able, we have a good game plan, solid game plan for that course in particular, and I think we executed it pretty well.
It's a unique event in Colombia with playing at elevation and two different
Correct.
courses, and one that you can go super low with crystal balls last year and Aldrich last year as well. But then you have another challenge for, 3 rounds of it. How unique is that as a multi-course event because of all of those other factors that make it unique, not just that it's two courses?
Yeah, I think going into that week, third time playing down there, going into that week, that it's completely useless to look at a leaderboard until the third round, right? Like you have no relativity of like where you sit, just because there's a vast scoring average difference between those two courses, right? You have the short course, which almost every par four is drivable. It played a little tougher this year than it did last year. Last year was really soft, and this year it was, slightly better, but still very gettable. You're really like, it's a great tournament to practice, like just keeping your head down and playing golf. And so I think we did that pretty well. Didn't really, look up until, coming down the stretch. And we had talked about it beforehand, like our game plan, how we're going to go about it. And that course suits me pretty well. Playing in Colorado Springs, like you talked about altitude. Colorado Springs was 7,300 feet, so about as close as it can get to a Bogota altitude. I'm comfortable teeing up the driver high, hitting it high, and spinning it, and that's how you make it go farther at altitude. And so I'm comfortable doing that. It allows me to push it up there on some holes, especially on that closing stretch. So the comfort knowing that you have a little bit of, I wouldn't say an extra gear, but you have something in the tank for, the last five holes is pretty nice, right? It's a good, you feel like you have like a card in your pocket, right? Or a card up your sleeve or whatever. So it was great for me. Great time. I think there's a lot to learn from that Bogota. They do such a good job supporting it down there. There's legitimately thousands of fans around the 18th hole, which doesn't really happen on the Korn Ferry Tour in the States, so it's just an awesome time, and thankful to get it done there.
We watched the your closing ceremony there, and you got a good little lesson in Espanol. Es muy bueno on the speech you gave there. That was a home run, man.
Yeah, Masa Minos. But it was awesome. So my full-time caddy is from Mexico originally, lives in Lexington, Kentucky now. But we try to split 70-30 English Spanish when we're out there. So
That's cool. That's
I
cool.
have he's my I call him full-time caddy, part-time Spanish teacher. So we've been talking about it, and there's a guy Greg that runs a lot of the media for the Latin
Yeah.
events, and then he does South American swing as well. So he's been telling me for years that if I a couple of years that if I won, I needed to do the ceremony in Spanish, and he was there and helped me out with it. So I appreciate his help.
You rocked it. It was awesome. It sounded fun. How was the ride home? What was the celebration like?
Oh man, you know what? I got on a it was cool. I was at the club, finished around 2:30. We didn't get out of there till 6. You know, they that course they and their title sponsors, they do a great job of,
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
man.
like they run you through like you do like the ceremony, you do like an autograph line, you do a picture line, you do another autograph line, you do another picture line. It's pretty cool, and everyone, you know, coming up and saying, you know, congratulations is awesome. Caddy and I ate some dinner, and then went down to the clubhouse and ate with a few of the other guys. And we just, you know, it was very low key. I was flying out. I red-eyed home. I was on daddy daycare duty. So I red-eyed home, and I was watching our little guy for a couple days. So it was good. It was, you know, it was awesome to have dinner with the guys to celebrate with the staff and all the tournament, you know, the host organization and all the volunteers. It was great to do it with them, and then have some dinner with some friends and the caddy, and then, you know, get home to the family. It's awesome.
How helpful has it been to have a couple week break before having to come back down, make that long trek again, and kind of decompress after a win instead of having to just keep on grinding right after having a trophy in your hands?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people say you want to keep playing, but I felt, you know, I was very motivated to get home, go see the family. I think it's great. I think the scheduling is great this year, you know, having the weeks on the front end and the back end of this trip. 'Cause, you know, if you just sent guys straight forward, a lot of guys would not go that this far south, right? Like
Yeah.
Argentina and Chile are a long way away. But to have
Long
it
way.
2 weeks back to back with a couple weeks on the front end and I think 3 weeks on the back end, it's pretty nice. They did a good job scheduling it. So gives us time to spend some time with the family, prepare to be gone from them for a couple weeks, and then come back. So we're excited.
Well, last question. You're back at it, obviously, with Argentina. It seems like 1,000 points is kind of the number we've kind of heard floated as like the top 20 baseline. So you're more than halfway, you're halfway there and then some. How long is it do you get to celebrate? And how long is it that then you got to get motivated? All right, I'm more than halfway there. Let's go finish the job.
Yeah, you know what? I think the first week that I was home, it was you know, we're kind of taking it in, like responding to texts. I didn't do anything with my phone until a couple of days after, so I owed some people some responses, and that was awesome. But at this point, I'm ready to get back at it. You know, it admittedly, like last year, I did take we had our little guy, so wouldn't trade it for the world to be able to take
Awesome.
some time off. But this year, I'm just motivated. I won one. I got a taste. I want to win again. I want to win several more times, you know. So our heads back down. We're working, and excited to, you know, try to get it done a second time.
Well, we appreciate what you have done. We're proud of you, man, but we're really proud of what you do on the side as well. We're big fans of the Folds of Honor. I know that you've been involved with Lieutenant Colonel
Hey.
Dan Rooney for a long time. And that's actually how you and I started up our conversation in French Lick. Tell us about your journey with Dan, Lieutenant Dan, Lieutenant Colonel
Yeah,
Dan, I should say.
it's been awesome. It's been great. As you know, he's a very charismatic guy. He's full speed, you know, talk about coming in hot. That's Dan Rooney, like basically, I don't know. I guess
I have
he's
stories, man.
I don't know how old he is, but I gotta think since birth he's probably been coming in hot. So he's an awesome guy. I got introduced to him in college. I played the their All-America tournament down in Phoenix a couple times, and was fortunate to win it as a senior. And when I after I won it, we kind of, you know, we stayed in touch. He knew I was going to play professionally afterwards. We just didn't know how much service time I'd have. So during that service time each year, we'd do their Patriot, go to Oklahoma to play, and he's been very supportive. And so got to, you know, the biggest benefit personally for that was just getting to link up with senior tour guys and different guys and kind of pick their brains, you know. Like I to that point I hadn't run in those circles, so he afforded me those relationships and being able to, you know, ask the Tom Lehmans of the world, like, hey, what, you know, for pointers, or Brad Faxons of the world, or Scott McCarron, you know, like it was awesome. It was awesome. And through the years we've stayed in touch, and I think I'm gonna stay with him this year in Oklahoma right before we head to French Lick. So
Awesome.
it'll be awesome. The Folds does such great work, and you know, they got the Folds Friday initiative that's coming out this year, and I just think it's for a great cause, you know, supporting the family members of those like lost or injured, you know, through education, I think is about as important as it gets. So love their mission, love how they go about it, and proud that I can, you know, wear the logo sometimes.
Well, with over 62,000 scholarships for the families of fallen veterans and first responders, we're more than happy to do whatever you guys need to make it go through. On another note, how about a shout out to some of your sponsors? I mean, you've been on the tour. People have supported you throughout the years. Anybody you want to say hi to out there?
Dude, I got all kinds of people, you know, that I don't think even an individual sport like golf, like nothing happens without a team, right? And that team starts with your family, who enables you to even do this, you know, my wife, my wife, you know, basically allows me to play golf. She runs our lives, and I just try to like make, you know, add up scores less than five at the end of the day, right? So, you know, family, sponsors, RSM has been great. There was B3 Group that was out there for a while, Puma, Cobra. Man, it's just been such a great opportunity to meet, not only, you know, not only have sponsorship to allow me to play, but also to meet these people in these organizations, and you know, see their I guess their desire to push, you know, individuals forward in their games, and you know, my sponsors along with coaches, Jeff Smith, Alan Terrell, Chris Como helps me out. So like, you know, Stephen Sweeney, like, man, we've got a team, and I'm proud of our team. My agent, Brad Buffoni, I'm proud of our team, and I think, you know, with them, with their help, we can take this game a long way.
Well, we're proud of you, man. Thanks for coming on to Road to French Lick. Hopefully we don't see you in French Lick. Hopefully we see you somewhere else.
Ah,
So you can.
you know what? The number one spot, we were talking about it. You know, the number one spot is very valuable. So I think regardless, you know, you win three times and you get that automatic promotion, I think it could very well be worth it in the end to come back to French Lick. And by the way, it's the hardest tournament, it's the hardest course of the year, and I think it's an awesome venue for the finals, you know, for the Korn Ferry Tour Championship to end in French Lick, where you make your difference tee to green, is very important, because the PGA Tour, you know, the top guys on the PGA Tour separate themselves strokes gained tee to green, right? And French Lick measures exactly that. It beat me up a little bit on Sunday last year, but it's just an awesome spot. We appreciate y'all doing it. You know, nothing. Sundays don't happen without Wednesdays, and I know that y'all do so much to make sure those pro-ams happen and bring people in. So I was fortunate to be at Victoria National before. That place was hard. French Lick might be harder, I don't know. But it's awesome to have that tournament as the tour championship. So I appreciate it.
Say United Leasing and Finance, Ron Romain, his group have just been fantastic partners, and we are really excited about having it this year, but we have 4 more years left to go and hopefully more than after that. So
Yeah,
Kyle
I.
Westmoreland, man, you're the bomb.
Well,
Congrats, brother.
thank you, thank you. One day, you know, if you really want to ruffle some feathers, you can put that tee box back on 16 and see what happens, you
Okay.
know. But
I tell you what, that thing is what, 301, 301 from back there, water on the right hand side with the wind blowing right to left the whole time. So
it's got to be the hardest par three in the world.
there's a fairway bunker in the middle on a par three.
Yeah, there's water right and there's gunch left. Like I mean, from 301 yards, I've never seen a par three that hard. It's probably like a pretty manageable par five, I'd say, from back there.
Well, I've had many fives from back there before, so it's
Perfect.
just par for me.
Yeah,
Well,
well,
I tell you what, you keep this up, you can be on a show whenever you want, man.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great one, and thanks for having me on.